Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
The Miami Dolphins have traded the 26th pick to the Green Bay Packers. With the 26th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State.
Anybody that knows Aaron Rodgers, he's not going to take this well. Okay, I mean, he's sort of known for having rabbit ears, for being thin-skinned. He knows and hears anything negative anybody ever says about him. He takes everything personally, and by the way, that's probably part of the reason why he's so good. It goes back to him being in the green room and falling in the draft. I don't think he's going to take too kindly to this. I don't think Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst are going to be on his Christmas card list, so to speak.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
It's Ross Tucker with Mully and Haw. This is McNeil and Parkins on The Score. It was the story of the draft. I mean, the draft was going fairly chalky. It was not a complete mess technologically like many of us thought it would be. And then all of a sudden, the Packers trade up to select maybe the heir apparent for Aaron Rodgers, the fourth quarterback in the first round, Jordan Love from Utah State. And then our guy, the man that Matt calls the Shep of Milwaukee from Mitch's station, 105.7, the Fan, the Morning Man, Bart Winkler, is with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Winkler melted down. Bart, have you calmed down as you join us today?
No, I'm okay. I think I was just so shocked. It's pick 26. I'm like, at that point, I'm having a good night. Just had some pizza, had a couple of rum and captains, or captain and cokes. That makes more sense. And then I
rum
see it
captain.
Says trade, and then it
drinking.
Says Green Bay, and then it says Jordan Love. And I don't know. I don't even know, man. I don't mind that Jordan Love is on the team I like. It's just very weird how he got there.
What do you expect Aaron Rodgers' reaction to this to be?
I would think that publicly he's going to put on a good face about it. I would agree with a lot of what Ross Tucker said just there and on The Score earlier this morning. I think that this is a very interesting situation, guys, because he is in the exact situation that Brett Favre was in. And when Rodgers came and Brett Favre was there, I mean, Rodgers has talked about it. He called Favre grandpa right away and tried to joke with him, and Favre wasn't having it. Favre did not think it was his duty to mentor Aaron Rodgers to be the guy that replaced him. And now those two have a great relationship. I got to think they talked at some point last night or today about it, either laughing about it or saying, oh, my God, I'm in the same spot you are. And so how Rodgers handled this is going to be one of the fascinating aspects of this story. Is he going to overcompensate and be like, hey, look, it's my friend Jordan Love? Is he going to try? Because everything he does, he, like, tries to not do it how Favre did it. He tries to be more protective of the football because Favre gave away a lot of possessions by not being so careful. I think that Aaron Rodgers has always been a great teammate for those other quarterbacks that he's been with in his career. But the one thing that those guys never had that Jordan Love did is a threat of taking his job away. If Aaron Rodgers struggles week three, no one's going to call for Jordan Love to you know, be the starter. But Jordan Love is now the first guy that Rodgers has ever played with that absolutely could be the guy that replaces him. So I think he's going to handle it as well as he can publicly, because he knows that the microscope's on him, just like it was with the Matt LaFleur situation this year, where they ended up squashing that storyline very quickly. But I got to think he's a little miffed at it. They haven't gotten him help. They never get him help. First round, ever since he's been the starter, they've never drafted a skill guy the entire time that he's been there.
That's true. They have hit some home runs in the second round, though, Bart, in fairness to the Packers.
They've got home runs in the second round, but you get a game away from the Super Bowl, and you go with a quarterback, and you trade up to get it. It's not a good sign that you're giving Aaron Rodgers.
Do you think – what's the best way to handle it? Like, is it more similar to Rodgers to Favre, or are there enough differences here where we are maybe being too simplistic in looking at it that way? Because Rodgers was maybe the top quarterback in that draft, and he fell to them. They traded up to take the fourth quarterback here. Rodgers has a bunch of years left on his deal. Like, is it identical? How similar do you really think it is to the Rodgers and Favre story?
It's similar in that both of those guys are now – Favre had Rodgers, who was going to replace him. And for all that we can see into the future, Jordan Love was drafted to eventually replace Aaron Rodgers. Whether the Packers GM yesterday is going to tiptoe around that or not, the difference is in the circumstance. The Packers at 24 there, Rodgers could have been number one. It'd be like if Herbert or Burrow or Tua fell to 26 last night. Well, you take one of those guys, it's a different story today. So it's different in that regard. Where it's also different is that I think the messaging's different. When Rodgers was drafted in 05, it was, we've got a quarterback that keeps talking about retirement. We gotta at least prepare for the future. Oh, this guy fell in our lap. Let's take him. Right now, and I think if you look back at last year's draft too, taking Rashawn Gary at 12, who didn't really see the field on defense last year, it almost seems to me like Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur are setting themselves up for the next chapter. They're going to ride out Rodgers as long as he wants to play, or as long as he's better than Jordan Love. And then the moment that he's not, they're assuming that's going to be in a couple of years, when the cap hit to get rid of Rodgers starts to go down, and they're going to make their move. I think they're preparing for the new era, and they have the safety net to do it. Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur are not going anywhere. They're not going to get fired for this move. They're probably not even going to get fired if it doesn't work out. This is Green Bay. It takes anything that Chicago does or Minnesota, it takes 9 times the amount of time in Green Bay to make a decision like that. So they're not going anywhere. It's the same in terms of it's a guy that has to mentor their parent, but it's different in that the organization is kind of being the one to force the hand instead of the player this time.
What's the percentage breakdown among Packers fans? Forget your own feelings. You fielding calls today, just checking the vibe on all of the boards and social media. What's the breakdown of hating this with Packers fans? What percentage of Packers fans hate what happened last night?
I think there's a lot of confusion. I think that we did, as Packer fans, learn our lesson, I would hope. I mean, there are some people tweeting at Jordan Love, don't come here, you suck. And he might. That's another issue. He might not be good. I think he's looked good sometimes, but he also might not be good. So that's another thing of this whole thing. I think there's a lot of confusion, and I think it's not hating the Jordan Love pick like we did 4 hours this morning in Milwaukee. You know how much we broke down Jordan Love? I asked one question to our beat guy. Otherwise, the story here is why now? Why take a quarterback now? And I think it's not so much a hating of the player. I think it's a hating that they didn't go out and get help for Aaron Rodgers with this pick. And it seems to be a buildup of, well, not only did they not get help with this pick when there's receivers to be had, you also, in free agency this year, you didn't go and get really anybody to improve the team. You got stopgap guys for all the guys that you let go, Blake Martinez, Brian Bulaga, and so on and so forth. You didn't go get Odell Beckham Jr. You didn't go get DeAndre Hopkins. You didn't go get a weapon for Aaron Rodgers. You're telling him next year you got to figure it out with the guys who were so bad for you again last year. So I think that's where the anger falls in. Again, Jordan Love, I think I like that he's on my team, but I don't like the situation that he got here.
Bart Winkler does mornings on 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee. At this point in his career, how good is Aaron Rodgers relative to the rest of the NFL?
Well, I don't think Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur think he's as good as we thought he was if they're going to draft his successor. He's still a top 10 quarterback. Problem is, there's the problem I think that Aaron Rodgers has now is he's got a new head coach. And I was watching some of the film on Jordan Love, and they were breaking down the offense that he ran in 2018. Last year was a disaster for him. It was a new offense. But they were breaking down his offense in 2018 and a little bit into last year, where Jordan Love, you give him five different route combinations. He can read the field. He can do that well. He can go through the progressions. If one route breaks down, it sets up the other route. This is all stuff that Matt LaFleur tried to do in Tennessee. So Matt LaFleur now has a quarterback that will implement his offense fully, I think, instead of what Rodgers does, which is, yeah, okay, I'll run those plays, but remember, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm still going to, like, check out a bunch and also hang on to the football and run around with it. And there's still things that Aaron Rodgers does that need to be corrected that maybe can be corrected at this point. And so they must have seen enough, or they must have feel a certain way that Rodgers is not going to be here in Green Bay as long as he thinks he is. He's under contract for four more years. These next two, they're not getting rid of him. It's a huge cap hit, dead cap hit if they do.
Yep.
After that, 2 years from now, the third year, $17 million of dead cap. You could look at moving on then, especially if you're not paying Jordan Love much. And then the fourth year, it's like $2 million dead cap hit. I don't think he sees it to the end of the contract. I don't understand how he can. Because at the time that he makes it to the end of the contract, you're going to have to make your decision if you're guaranteeing Jordan Love $20 million or not. After seeing him play, none. They are not ready to move on yet, but they are 1 foot out the door on Aaron Rodgers. It's got to be seen that way. I don't know how it can be.
Do you think it's a possibility he demands a trade? Obviously, it's a possibility, but do you think it's likely?
No, I don't see Rodgers being that guy. Rodgers, you know, some of the Packer players, I think Bakhtiari was tweeting about it, that he's pumped to play with Rodgers this year, and it's going to motivate him and fuel him even more. You know, he's always been a chip on his shoulder guy. Sometimes he's got to look for things to motivate him. This one, he doesn't have to look very far. I think if anything, he'll want to prove them wrong on the field. And he's said repeatedly, him winning another Super Bowl, I think, and him finishing his career in Green Bay are two accomplishments that might mean an equal amount to him. He really wants to finish, from what he said, his career in Green Bay. I don't think he would demand a trade. I mean, this is not new for him. Outside of it being a quarterback, it's not new that another offseason they improved the defense or didn't give him a weapon or didn't do this. So, you know, he's been in this position before in that regard. I don't see him demanding a trade, no.
After what happened in the NFC Championship game, what have the Packers done to improve their run defense?
Nothing. The team's worse. The team is worse than it was then. They lost Blake Martinez, and they got Christian Kirksey at linebacker who, you know, I play all these defensive fantasy leagues, and I think I know every player in the league. I never heard of him. They got this Rick Wagner guy at offensive line to fill in for Brian Bulaga. That's not going to work out. They let Jimmy Graham go. I mean, the Bears got a steal in Jimmy Graham.
Oh.
Wink, wink. Although I did like Jimmy Graham. He did get it. He's not worth the money, but he's not as bad as I think people think he is. But he's not worth that money. But they got worse. They got worse. They did. The answer to your question is nothing, comma, they got worse, period.
Exclamation point. Space, space.
Dot, dot, dot.
New sentence.
Brown face emoji. Martini right. Emoji. Rum
when
emoji.
Do we hear from Aaron Rodgers? Because they said that they didn't even run it by Aaron Rodgers, which, I mean, I guess you could say he doesn't deserve it, but just as a counterpoint, the Chiefs did run their pick past Pat Mahomes and asked for his input on a couple of guys once they whittled it down. So it's not unprecedented for star quarterbacks to have input when you're adding players into a draft. Like, when do you think we actually get from Aaron Rodgers how he feels about this?
Maybe I think it's going to be a while, unless he said something like in the last 10 minutes to make me look dumb. I think it's going to be a while, because until he's pressed against it and asked about it, I don't think he's going to volunteer an answer. And if he does, if he puts out a video today or comments on Jordan Love's Instagram, then, like, welcome to Green Bay, man, can't wait to work with you. Then I think that's him looking back at what happened with Favre and trying to not make it a story. But no matter what Rodgers does, responds, not responds, however he responds, it's going to be a story. And Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur made this pick knowing the storm it would cause, and they still did it. So credit them for going right into this tornado, because it is – I mean, it's not going to go away for a while.
Bart Winkler does mornings on 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee. We call him Shep of the North, the Milwaukee Shep. We enjoy you, man. Good
Bart,
stuff. Talk to you
thank
soon.
Thank you.
Have yeah,
a good
we're
day,
sister
man.
Stations. People forget
yes.
that, but we're sister stations. Yeah,
we are, and we always consider you a brother. Have a good weekend, dude.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
That's Bart Winkler bringing the passion from Milwaukee.
He's upset.
He
is really, really upset.
I get it, man. One game away from the Super Bowl, and you draft a dude who's not going to play for 2 years.
Yeah.
At least.
I get it. I understand it, too. I understand both sides of it. I hate being on the fence with this. Organizationally, I mean, and you got to see it, too, from the standpoint of the way we were addressing it as it applies locally. A quarterback is different. If you feel there's – obviously, they have a higher regard for Jordan Love than the rest of Western civilization. And if you feel that in a couple of years he can be your salvation at the most important position in sports, you kind of got to get him.
Yeah, listen, if he is Pat Mahomes, right, like if that's what they just did, if they're smarter than everyone and they have the right evaluation and they've got their guy for the next decade, then yeah, good job. You got it right. But why it's different than the Bears thing, like why I said if the Bears take a swing today at 43 on Jalen Hurts and it's not a win now pick, but it's they think he's their quarterback of the next decade, you have to support it. Well, the Bears don't have either one. They don't have their quarterback of the future, or they don't have a great quarterback of the present. The Packers do have a great quarterback of the present.
Yeah.
That's the key difference between the two situations. The Packers have a Super Bowl caliber quarterback right damn now, and they're drafting his replacement.
Maybe Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur don't agree. Maybe they see
a
precipitous fall in their quarterback and think that, as much as they're invested in him, he might not be their best option before too long. That's a possibility you can't dismiss. At least you're preparing yourself for it. I don't want a quarterback for the Bears at 43 tonight because it's inconsistent with what they've been practicing. But I think what they've been practicing is a smidge delusional by signing a bunch of guys in their 30s this offseason. That tells us they're swinging for the fences and they think they can win it all this year or certainly be a Super Bowl contender. I'm not so sure I agree with that. I think there are several key elements still missing. So a quarterback of the future, because I don't believe that they're that close right now. I think they're further away than they think. I'm not going to bitch about it. I don't think it obviously helps them this year. They just went out and traded for a quarterback. You just got another quarterback.
Yeah, but they're only committed to him for this year. Like, and then based on how he plays and how well he plays, he can kick in some incentives. Like the Bears, there's no guarantee that Nick Foles is the Bears quarterback next season, much less 3 years from now. It's possible, but contractually, they have no commitments long term to any quarterback on the roster right now. And Nick Foles got benched for Gardner Minshew last year. He's not great, right? I think
numbers last year were very and numbers in his career are similar to Mitch Trubisky's.
Right. I'm just saying. So we know the Bears have a better quarterback on their roster this year than they did last year, but we also know that they don't have a very good quarterback on their roster. Like, there's enough of a sample here to say that they don't have a great quarterback. So I just, when you are in that spot, and so you don't have an answer at QB, and you, if you think there is one, I'll be honest, like, if they draft Jalen Hurts, because Matt, and then Matt Nagy speaks after the draft and says, I think this guy's going to be an absolute stud. I had him as the one, a first round grade on him. I don't know how, as a Bears fan, you don't get more excited about that than drafting an offensive lineman or a safety. Like, it's just such a more valuable position that taking that swing is something that I would imagine most Bears fans would talk themselves into, because there's nothing quite like having hope that you have a quarterback of the future when you have no quarterback of the present.
Yeah, I get it. And I know I am so in the minority with my love for seeing tackles get drafted. I understand why that's not sexy for people. So a good buddy of mine sent me a text the other day, and I can't remember how the hell he phrased it, but it's just really negative on my love for tackles and how boring it makes it on television. I said, there is nothing as boring as going a decade with seeing your football team not win a playoff game. So if drafting tackles can cure that, taking a confetti shower sometime down the road would be a lot more exciting than drafting average quarterbacks or quarterbacks who suck. Sooner or later, they got to get around to thinking about making themselves better up front. And if it's not going to be tonight with 43 or 50, God help them, because that offensive line was not good at anything it did last year. They were average at protection. They were terrible as a run blocking unit.
That's undeniably true. It seems more likely that the thing that would get you to a confetti shower is being great at quarterback than being great at tackle. And so that's why there's that excitement and hope if you do take a quarterback. And again, I don't think they will, and I'd be shocked if they did. Like, normally the guy, a quarterback in the second round doesn't become a superstar. Like, the guys who get picked where Tua, Herbert, and Burrow get picked, those are the guys who normally end up being superstars. So the guys who get picked where Mitch Trubisky got picked, they normally are the ones who end up being superstars. So I don't think the Bears are going to take a quarterback, and if they do, the odds are overwhelmingly against him being great. It's just, if you're talking purely for excitement for the fan base, I get why Jalen Hurts, who's been in national championship games, would excite the fan base more than a tackle from Utah.
Better television than Josh Jones knocking around a guy from Auburn in the Senior Bowl?
Mac, I had a long list. I just stayed taking a running like notes in my phone of funny moments from last night, because there was a ton of unintentional comedy. I want to go through some of them with you coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Score.
There may be some technological glitches, and we will ride through it.
Trey Wingo at the start of ESPN's broadcast last night, which did a record-setting number across all the platforms, ESPN, NFL Network, and ABC. I saw it was up 30-something percent in Chicago year over year, which is remarkable, given that the Bears did not have a first-round pick. And I think I saw about 16 million people tuning in for the NFL draft night one. Pretty massive for a draft.
That's a real big show. And I love Trey Wingo letting all of the passengers know that they're expecting turbulence during their lengthy first-round flight. And it never really came. I mean, there were only a few glitches along the way. I was hoping for much more. I was a little disappointed. It went off as cleanly as it did.
He is an amazing story.
Or not.
So we'll see what happens here.
We talked about this for days leading up to it. Like, I'm with you. I was rooting for some harmless chaos, you know, the harmless anarchy, and they got 58 different cameras on draft prospects, and they got these analysts all over the country, and they're doing it from Bristol instead of Vegas, and you got Roger Goodell, and like, it had its moments of awkwardness, but overall, that was a pretty incredible television accomplishment last night.
I concur. Once the draft started, I really became engaged and enjoyed it. I had a very difficult time with the first 20 minutes of the show. I can't deny it. And I'm indifferent as to whether they play a national anthem before a sporting event or, you know, something like the NFL draft. But the NFL, I do agree with those who continue to say they pander to that portion of the American public that likes to wrap itself in the American flag. And just the whole awkwardness. I just found the tributes to the real heroes during the pandemic, while it might have been well intended at the beginning, was just so it so had the fictitious, you know, compassion of the NFL that they like to project. The NFL is a greedy organization that's very successful, and to pretend you're otherwise, to start the damn draft. Give us a 3-minute conversation. You know, I didn't need Dr. Fauci last night for a.
Let's talk about the draft.
Yes, let's talk about the draft, Anthony Molina.
It was impossible to ignore.
You could have done it much more concisely, though. It was way too fat. It needed to be much, much shorter than it was. It was 22 minutes before we finally got the Bengals on the clock.
I honestly, I wish we would have talked about it, because there was no doubt in my mind that that was how they were going to handle it. And I agree with you, obviously. It was overwrought. It was syrupy. It was self-important. I mean, it was basically like, hey, having a draft of amateur players where they can't choose where they work, that's going to solve America's problems. We're the NFL. We're great, right? Like, the NFL does a great job of pretending to care about our armed forces, and then they charge them to come on the field to hold the flag. They do a great job of pretending to care about breast cancer awareness. They'll sell you the pink merchandise and only give, like, 8% of the money to the charity.
Not so, even 8%. Oh, man, 8% would be way more than they do. It's minuscule.
Yeah, so I agree with you wholeheartedly that the NFL loves itself some NFL, and the NFL loves to associate itself with, oh, Dr. Fauci has an approval rating of 98%. Let's, you know, gleam off his popularity by associating him with the NFL. Let's put Peyton Manning. Let's put the word hope. Let's put the word together, right? It was right. Just it was propaganda. And I'm with you that it was gross, but there was also no doubt in my mind that was how they were going to handle it. They will raise millions of dollars for COVID relief charities as a result of their draftathon, as they were calling it. So the end result will be positive, both for COVID relief and for the NFL and brand awareness by a huge percentage of people who just eat that stuff up.
Yeah, I suppose serve it up if there's a large percentage of people who do enjoy consuming it. I'm not among them, and it really squelched my buzz to start the night. I was excited. I went out and grabbed a sandwich. I got a double meat hoagie from my favorite pizza joint in Highland, Romano's. Been going there since I was a kid, and I'm all ready to go, and it's 22 minutes of nonsense.
Well, and just as a television perspective, right? You say the draft starting at 7, and then the Bengals don't pick until 7:25. That's an extra half hour. You've got people tuned in thinking that they're going to get some action. And so, yeah, it's manipulative, but we've seen that before with so many events. We should have set an over-under and on when we would have heard that Joe Burrow was the pick of the Bengals, because I would have probably set it at 7:15, and it went way over, but it was there was no doubt that they were going to stretch that thing out last night in a big way. I also enjoyed the seeing into all the coaches and general managers' homes. And I got to say, by the way, to Jim Rome in his Sports Minute, who you crapping when he talked about Cliff Kingsbury's like cocaine dealer style home with the manicured lawn and the cabana, and he's like, and Pat Mahomes saying, "I want to get a home like Cliff," and Rome being like, "We all are, Pat. We all are." Jim Rome has multiple Cliff Kingsbury style homes. Like,
hey, buddy,
if you Google Jim Rome house, he sold a $13 million mansion with a saltwater pool in L.A. Like. Jim
Rome. Saltwater pool.
Yeah. Yeah. I just looked at it during the break when I heard that Sports Minute.
Like, I've not heard of that. A saltwater pool?
Yeah.
You sure it's not
doing
a saltwater aquarium?
AKA heroin.
A saltwater pool.
At the end of the private drive in Shady Canyon, the roughly 1 acre property takes in city, golf course, and mountain views and includes a sprawling villa of 12,300 square feet, an attached pavilion, and a saltwater swimming pool.
Wow.
There's a elevator, wine cellar, and a wood paneled lounge that contains a game room, gym, and speakeasy style bar.
Yeah.
So Jim Rome's got a Cliff Kingsbury style home. Rome. Rack 'em. But Kingsbury.
All right, folks, thank you. There you see Dan Quinn, Arthur Blank, and GM Thomas Dimitroff. By the way, if anybody's going to nail the virtual draft, it would be Thomas Dimitroff. He was showing off his setup like 3 weeks ago.
He loved it. He was showing it off in the middle of the pandemic. Hey, look how many monitors I have.
Yeah, some people very, very proud of their setups. And I think it's, you know, the when people learn something for the first time, a lot of these people probably had no idea how to do some of this stuff, or even that it existed prior to the pandemic, right? And then they get in front of it and they start to get familiar with it, and all of a sudden they're happy to show it off. That's good.
Well, I don't know what your favorite one was, but mine was Jerry Jones, because the room looked so ridiculous and so opulent. And it's like, it's just a white couch and a white rug and white this and glass this. And it's just like everything was reflective on each other. And you're like, where is Jerry Jones? What is happening?
Wasn't that his yacht? Someone said yacht during one of those shots.
Well,
one single shot, so I didn't see the glass that you were talking about. But that was his yacht, right?
Well, yeah, and then that's what Don Van Natta, who did that great profile on Jerry Jones a few years ago, where he traveled with him on his yacht and his private plane and had Johnny Walker Blue with him, he shared a picture of the room. It's Jerry Jones on a $250 million super yacht. Like, that's how Jerry Jones is social distancing. He's running the draft from a ship.
Yeah, I know.
He's on the Naomi.
Yeah, Danny, those things depreciate in value quickly.
It's true. As soon as you take it off the lot, I mean, 15%. I was like,
we showed you Jerry Jones. There's Mike McCarthy, maybe a little close to the camera, as you can see.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You could smell the pores of his skin.
He's my bubby on FaceTime. Danny, I can't see Owen. Where, Bubby? I can only see your eyebrows. Look down into the camera. Then you'll be able to see him. Where are you? That was Mike McCarthy last night.
Your boys.
Yeah. Oh, they gave him so many options on offense, Mac, that I don't even know if he can screw this up. They took CeeDee Lamb.
I know.
Maybe the most talented wide receiver in the draft. Certainly the best athlete at wide receiver in the draft. They got Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Lyle Collins, Zach Martin, and Tyron Smith.
Well, I'll go back to the top, though. You started with Dak Prescott. Neither of us are Dak Prescott guys. So if Mike McCarthy can win with Dak Prescott, you would have to throw some bouquets at his stinky feet.
Well, listen, Dak Prescott in his fourth year finally had more than 23 touchdowns and 3,400 yards, and everyone was giving him all of this credit well before that. He had a good season last year.
He was erratic.
Right. Well, when he didn't have Lyle Collins and Tyron Smith when they were hurt, he took like 5 sacks a game. So I think that Dak is a guy who, when everything around him is perfect, he can be pretty good. He's like Kirk Cousins, but he's not the guy that you want to give $35 million to. Is he a starter in the NFL? Absolutely. But I think 20 quarterbacks would put up his level of production, if not more, with what he has on the offensive line and at skill position. Like, he has been dealt pocket aces every year of his NFL career.
I concur. I agree with that. You're one of the best running backs in the game, usually. And best left tackle. Yes, they're very good offensive line. Hey, backing up just a little bit, I feel like I've been living in a cave. Apparently, saltwater pools are becoming very, very popular, originating on the West Coast. I guess it's a way to avoid having to use chemicals to treat your pool. You don't have to use chlorine. And some people locally are even deploying that technique. Maybe I should go that route this summer. I'd never even heard of it. Saltwater pool. Hell, if it's good enough for Jim Rome, it's good enough for me.
I would think.
Get myself a saltwater pool.
I feel like it's more for if you just like lounge in your pool as opposed to if you want to swim and go underwater and, you know, like play games in your pool. Like, as I look at Jim Rome's pool, it's an infinity pool overlooking Hollywood. Like, it looks like something you would more soak in, and I don't think you're swimming laps in it necessarily.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, that's not something I spend a whole lot of time doing anyways, swimming laps.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, I do a lot of water aerobics, though. I do a lot of stretching and lower back work, some core training. It's easy. Water's good. Water is your friend.
The thing that was the biggest annoyance to me in the NFL draft last night, it was just a theme over and over and over again. We'll get into it next on The Score.
Sitting there right now, that would make a lot of sense for the Los Angeles Chargers at this point in time. They're looking for a tackle
machine.
All right,
Adam, thanks. The pick is in. Let's find out what the Chargers are doing with their second first-round pick. Nope, okay. The pick is not yet in.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. That audio brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. They did an incredible job, but there were still plenty of moments of awkwardness. Mac, by the way, I'm sure I read this and then just forgot it. Why did they, if everything was about like combining forces with ESPN and Disney and the NFL Network, right, and like Michael Irvin was working on it and they were simulcasting the ESPN and NFL Network broadcast, why did they also do a different crew on ABC with Fowler and Herb Street and Desmond Howard, like, and change the broadcasters? If you would think you would want to like put on one broadcast but have as few of people working because of social distancing,
yeah.
Why a different broadcast?
I don't know anything. I'll claim Wani's theory of ignorance. I have no idea. I didn't even know it was going to be going on. I thought it was going to be uniformity across the board. I had no idea that's what was going to shake out.
And I said this on Twitter, and people were like, oh, well, come on, get out of your ivory tower. Not everybody has cable. I was like, that's not the point I'm making. Like, I'm not saying that the draft should not have been on ABC. They put it on ABC so that they could set ratings records, and yeah, because not everybody has cable, but Disney owns ABC and ESPN, so they could have just had one broadcast on both networks and had fewer people working in control rooms and all of that. So just seemed like an odd choice to bring out Herb Street and Fowler and Desmond Howard and all of those guys and put them on ABC when you could have just had Mel Kiper and the guys on all of the networks. But
yeah, that's what I stuck with the entire time. I never went over to Fowler and Herb Street. I just kept it on ESPN the entire night.
Yeah, I saw some people tweeting about something with Desmond Howard. He kept changing he had a record like on the TV behind him, or on the in the TV shot on his shelf behind him, and he kept changing them, coming out of commercial breaks, like showing off in his record collection and featuring a different one. And I was that's a nice little wrinkle, and I didn't know that Desmond Howard was on ABC right now, so I went over there for a couple of picks.
Did Mike Vrabel have a friend over at his house who had to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, in the reflection, he claimed that it was someone sitting on a stool, but it very clearly, either the guy's shorts are hiked up way too high, or he was taking a dump and the door was open and it was caught in the reflection of the house. And then there was a guy in like a skin-tight suit at Mike Vrabel's house. Like, Mike Vrabel had some weird things going on in his
draft. I would have had Mike Vrabel in the which NFL coach has a buddy over at the house pool who's caught taking... Yeah, I would have chosen him. He would have been the obvious pick for that. A guy who said he would have, you know what, he would have been willing to do to win a Super Bowl. He'd be crazy.
He's, Lorraine Bobbitt himself, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So that wouldn't have surprised me in the least.
Mac, it was very odd. The internet had a lot of fun with it.
Mike Zimmer nail his setup there, Mac. You agree? That was my favorite. That was so Minnesota, but perfect.
All those dead animals behind him? Yeah, don't get me started.
Holy yes, that's a hell of an elk.
Yeah. I hope he harvested all of those animals and just didn't kill them for trophy. I can't think of a more...
I doubt it.
Yeah, I know. Those were hard. Those were animals you eat, right?
Well, Mac, let me tell you about...
Asking the wrong guy.
I don't know.
So it's a spider more than it is a snake.
Who are you talking to? I have no idea. It's what is that? Taxidermy when you stuff animals?
Yes, taxidermy. Yeah. And in the movie Waiting for Guffman, the old townie went to taxidermy school via correspondence, because that's something that you can learn by not having to get your hands on.
You could do it virtually.
Yes, that would be virtual taxidermy school.
And as we are moving at warp speed through the first round of this draft, and this is, we thought, something that might happen because of the virtual reality.
Virtual reality. Oh, boy. The English language is a rough one, man. Too many words that mean too many things. Draft was flying last night.
This was my least favorite part of the draft, Mac. It was, I don't know if you feel this way. Like, as a media person, I know why they do it. Like, I get that there is a human interest component, and you're trying to broadcast not just to college football fans, not just to NFL fans, but you want to be all things to all people and humanize these prospects who many people, including the fan bases of the teams that are drafting them, don't know. Mm-hmm. But it seemed to be very heavy-handed with best moment of their life. Now let's talk about the worst possible tragedy that they've overcome, and it happened over and over and over again.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Tristan Wirfs, tackle, Iowa.
Well, now we're seeing this run on offensive linemen, and as you see, Tristan Wirfs there getting the phone call right there. He was raised by his single mother, Sarah, and he was going to walk with her down the red carpet in Las Vegas. That didn't happen, so he brought the red carpet to her.
The Miami Dolphins select Austin Jackson, tackle, USC.
And there is Austin Jackson, first team all Pac-12 out of USC as a junior last year. But as his family, Jackson donated bone marrow to his sister last summer. Autumn Jackson has a rare disease called diamond black fan anemia, a genetic disorder that prevents her bone marrow from producing red blood cells.
The New Orleans Saints select Cesar Ruiz, center, Michigan.
So there you see the very emotional reaction from Cesar Ruiz, and he is going through this draft process with a very, very heavy heart. Who you don't see in the picture there with Cesar Ruiz is his father, Cesar Edrin Ruiz. 31 career starts at Michigan. He's dedicated his career to his father, who in December of 21 pulled over on the side of a road, Route 55 in South Jersey, to help another car whose driver was trying to change a flat tire. He was then struck and killed by a driver who reportedly fled the scene of the accident. His father was 26 at the time.
The Denver Broncos select Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver, Alabama.
Jerry Jeudy was a straight A student, but he has dealt with some tragedy in his life. In November of 2016, Jerry Judy's 7-year-old sister, Aaliyah, passed away. Aaliyah was a miracle baby and had suffered health complications since birth. And there you see it. Jerry Jeudy going to go work with John Elway.
The Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State.
All right, there you see Orban Love, Jordan's father, with him and some of his siblings. For those that don't know the story, Orban took his life on July 13th, 2013, 16 days shy of his 52nd birthday. He was a member of the police force in Bakersfield, California.
Am I crazy, Mac, or is it a little odd you have these guys who reach the crowning achievement of their careers surrounded by family? They show their highlights for 45 seconds, and then for the next 45 seconds, they're like, and here's their dad who committed suicide, like, while surrounded by all their family. It just seems a little opportunistic and gross.
Well, you know, it is part of their story. And everybody handles tragedy in different ways. Some people might not take too kindly to that if they're not processing it well and don't want to be reminded of it and certainly don't want to have somebody use the most joyful experience of their life, or one of them at this point, and point out some of the struggles along the way. But some of those stories are absolutely heartbreaking, and I can't say I find fault with them giving the human side of this, but I don't know. It goes, I think it's in a parallel lane from what I was talking about earlier regarding the way the show opened in such a serious manner because of the pandemic. It was a buzz crush, but it doesn't surprise me in the least that they played it that way. Suicide's a questionable judgment to mention that about a kid's dad. That's a little rough.
It just felt manipulative, and I'm thinking about those kids, and they're watching it, and they're surrounded by their family, and obviously those stories are out there publicly, like, so on. They've shared them at some point, but it just, I don't know. I you just see these people and they're like, oh, so there's the dad, there's the sister, there's this person who died, there's that person who died. And was it powerful television at times? Yeah, but we're talking about football players here. Like, there should be some amount of ethics, I feel like, here, where it's like, we don't need to manipulate the audience for tearjerkers when we're talking about, like, on one side, this guy with a pancake block, he overcame his sister's death. Like, it was just, I don't know. Yeah. It felt so choppy to me to see it consistently. And it seemed like it was every three picks, 10 guys.
Maybe we should blame draft day for that, because Sonny Weaver had the audacity to point out that Vontae Mack got kicked out of a game for giving the football after he scored a touchdown to his sister who died several months later from cancer. It's draft day's fault.
Well, it is draft day.
It all comes back to draft day.
Which wasn't on yesterday, by the way, on my system.
You know, what a missed opportunity.
$13 for a rental. I'm like, get out of here. Get out of here. I'm not paying $13.
That's a missed opportunity. Come on. The USA Network can't be airing draft day yesterday. What else are they doing?
Right. What else do you have on?
Seems ridiculous. I want to go through some of the other teams, what you thought of picks, guys you liked, the Bears division. I mean, Packers, Vikings, and Lions all had really interesting picks. And it's Matt Nagy's birthday. Mark Grody's going to join us at 5 on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!